It's Talking Sport for a Friday night in the studio with Chris Bass, Alex Harrison, and also Malcolm Blackburn. And Malcolm, the Euros are getting ever closer.
Yeah, they certainly are now. Obviously, we've now had all the details from Kenefa of the matches that we've got on for Ellen Bannon. I think the schedule's been reasonably kind for us. We also had notification that we're going to play a Youth Foundation select team from Hungary on the Tuesday in Budapest, and then the lads will move over to Debrecen. In Debrecen, the first game I think we've got is the Romani people, which I'm afraid I can't give any information to Chris on at all. We know nothing about them. Alex has got some information for us.
Most of them are playing the German Bavaria League, which is the sixth tier of German football. So they should be quite good.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of saying a standard of what sort of level 5, level 4, us in at Northwest Counties Premier League standard. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think for Chris, that probably is the game that he's going to target. What happens, we've got three groups of three teams. The three top teams, obviously, from each group will qualify for the semi-finals along with the best runner-up. So with County Nice in Chris's section, I'm sure that he's targeting a big score or trying to get a decent score against the Romani people, but it's going to be difficult. Look at the standard of these teams, and we saw it out in Sweden. It is so close. There is nothing between them. I think our style of play in Sweden shocked a lot of them, but they've seen us now, and I think it might make it a little bit harder for Chris, but I'm sure he's got a few tricks under his belt from when we get out there. So yeah, we're obviously in our group, which is, I think it's group B, it's the Romani people and County Nice. Now County Nice, a big area of France, and what we've noticed from the World Football Cup is that quite a few of their players actually got full professional contracts. A couple with OGC Nice, which are in the French Liga 1, I think it's called, and players through quite a few have gone to other divisions. They had one dark-coloured gentleman, as we'll call him, that played out in the World Cup, and I've never seen a forward like it. I mean, Sean Quay came off after that game and said, "I don't know how I coped with him."
He was the best player I've ever played against.
Yeah, I mean, Alex faced him as well. He was just a different biscuit. And luckily enough, in the final, he actually came off injured, because I think that helped us, Chris.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very, very hard for Ellen Bannon to replicate what they did in Sweden, because surprise was the biggest element that we had. And even from the first time we played Nice in the group game, from the time we played them in the final, because of their professionalism, And the more time they'd spent together, they were a different team that we played in the final. Having said that, we still, after our fitness, I believe was the fittest in Sweden. Having said that, you know, we should have been awarded a penalty. The referee realised he made a mistake, but sometimes had we scored in the first 25 minutes, we might have lost 5 or 6-1. They might have just played a different game altogether. Because what we noticed when we played them in the group game, and they went down to 10 men, it was still a nightmare trying to get the ball off them. And that's the level of competition. And it can only be good for us to be able to be involved in that kind of competition.
I mean, going so far in the last tournament, like you say, it takes away the surprise element. People know what to expect now. Maybe if you turned up and, you know, not made it through the group stages, you might have gone under the radar. But getting to the final and playing so well, that really, if anything, has been a hindrance this time round, hasn't it?
Not so much a hindrance. It's just, I don't want people to have great expectations. What I want them to do is get behind Ellen Bannon and get behind them just for pride more than anything, rather than results, because we are a small island and the competing nations will have a population of something like 64 million. And once again, we are the smallest nation of just 80-odd thousand. So, you know, we need all the support we can get, and we need to get it from wherever we can. But the one thing you can be assured of is that we will be given 120% when we're out there, every game, every minute.
I mean, the other thing that's going to come up, JP, while we're over there, temperatures are going to be round about 27 degrees. We've got one afternoon match, or Chris has got one afternoon match, which is against County Nice. So that's obviously going to be quite tough. And especially with the type of game that Chris plays, which is high tempo, our players are going to have to work extremely hard in high temperatures. The other game against the Romani people is at night. I think it's about a 7 o'clock kickoff or 7.30 kickoff their time, which will be 6.30 over here.
What's the humidity like, Malcolm?
Humidity won't be bad. It shouldn't be too bad. It is mainly going to be the heat is going to be the issue. But it's just when you look through all the other groups, if you go to the first group, Group A, you've got in that Occitania, who we experienced at Christmas, and Chris saw them. We came back, I think, with a 5-1 or 4-1 defeat over there. They'd upped their game to what we'd seen. But saying that, again, they actually didn't lose a game in normal time in Sweden. So they're a good package. And they're up against, in their group, Padania. Now, Padania, we know, have already started. They're bringing players in from some of the very best Italian teams. So, you know, that is a difficult group.
Occitania, Malcolm, could have brought players in from higher leagues still. Yeah. If we'd have beaten them Christmas,
they could have gone
then
up
they
another
could have
level.
Gone up another level or two,
you know,
and bring a stronger team again.
I think what's happened is that all these nations that are in it now are suddenly realizing that to actually win it, you have to go a bit further up the sort of levels of football where they're bringing these players in from. I mean, in that group as well, we've got the hosts, which is Cycli Fold or Cycli Land, which again, they're going to be a surprise package because most of their players are professionals, full professionals, but play futsal. They're not actually playing, you know, our grass-type football. They recently represented Hungary, most of them. Some of them have played Barcelona in the futsal leagues, in the sort of European championships and things. Now, from my understanding with them, technically, they're amazing, but they don't actually last 90 minutes. I don't know whether, I mean, I haven't studied futsal, but I assume you can go on and come off, Alex.
I've never played it.
Smaller pitch, isn't it?
Yeah. So they have a very short, quick bursts. So from what I gather, you know, that they'll be in the game with 45 minutes or what have you, but then they tend to tire. So you look at that group, and I wouldn't like to say who's going to come out of that one. It is going to be so interesting. And then, of course, you've got the third group, and this is where I think it's going to be extremely difficult. You've got three very good teams. Abkhazia, which we know about from Sweden, again, exceptional team. I think, where are their players from, Alex?
Their biggest player is Ruslan Adzinsil. He's actually the third most capped player to ever play in the Russian Premier League. He's currently playing with FC Krasnodar, and he was in the Europa League last year, so he's a really, really, really good player.
But I mean, you got them, you got South Ossetia, which is Russian-based, isn't it?
Yeah, they're Russian-based. I'm not really sure about a lot of their plays. They were present in Sweden, but we didn't get the chance to watch them. I know I keep in contact with their goalkeeper, who plays in the top league in Latvia, Vladimir, but I'm not really sure about any of their other players.
I think from our point of view, it would have been nice if we could actually do more training togetherness so we can actually change the structure of the way we play. We, you know, perhaps learn to keep the ball better defensively, move it round, bring them on to us so we can hit them on the break. But unfortunately, the way we operate, we don't want to impinge on the Manx Football League. So we have to develop outside of the league, and eventually we will improve. It's just a matter of time how long it takes for us to get better. If you go back to the good old days when we were playing professional clubs in the Oak Wolves Festival through the Isle of Man FA, after about 6 or 7 years, you start to get used to, you know, coping with these teams, and we started to keep the scores down and eventually win one or two. So, yeah, it's just a case of time. But the main thing is actually to be involved and not miss the boat again. Let's not see another opportunity pass us by. And for everybody that loves football, you know, they really should get behind this. You know, you want your kids to play in it. You should sponsor it when you can, because one day it could be your child that wants to be in it. So it's important that we get the support, and it's important that we learn to develop different tactics, and over a period of time we'll get there.
I mean, if the support on the Island Man this time round is half what it was last time round, I've never seen anything like it for the Isle of Man local sort of teams and things. And the support is just unbelievable.
Well, I think that's a moment thing, isn't it? That's a moment in time where people came together and it's a snowball. Things start to grow. Now, that's not to say it won't happen again. But because you're not playing all the time and you're not the main focus of certain people and certain ideals, you're not out there all the time. But if you were, then the support would be there. But the one thing, you know, to get support, people want to support success, don't they? Now, if you're going out there and you're getting thrashed every time you go out there, then they'll start to ask the question, what's the point? So it's important as a developing country like ourselves that we have to avoid those situations, and we also have to learn, you know, new ways of dealing with tactics.
We've got one more team in that group as well, JP. We got which again I would say is probably one of the favourites for the tournament, which is Northern Cyprus. Chris or nobody, we none of us have seen Northern Cyprus, but they have an extremely large professional league that their players are going to come from. I know for a fact they're bringing a delegation size of well over 30 people to the Euros, plus media. Mm-hmm. They're a very big organisation. They want their own hotel, everything laid on for them. They definitely are coming over to the Euros to win it, else they're not going in it, is their sort of attitude.
Is that why we're taking a ban, so we can play outside their hotel every night?
Yeah, we're going to do the ban thing, and I was thinking also maybe we can change their kickoff times till 2 a.m. or something like that. There's something we can do. I'm sure we'll come up with something. But no, I mean, that to me, that last group, that is a group of death. That is who will get through from that. I do not know. It is so, so tight, which is Abkhazia, Northern Cyprus, and of course South Ossetia, because South Ossetia didn't do themselves justice in Sweden. They were on the fringes. And again, I think they've upped it. I mean, we're seeing, I mean, to show you how serious they're taking it, I know the officials that are coming from Italy for the tournament were out doing official fitness tests last weekend. We've seen all the pictures on Facebook, I think, Alex, have all come out of that. You know, so this is being taken seriously. Yeah. And, you know, this along with, of course, you know, we've heard now about the Leeds match with the Isle of Man FA next week. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, this is what we've all been about over the last year, banging the drum, is let's get our lads back into them sort of environments where they're playing semi-pro and pro footballers. Hertie and Rick have taken that on board. They're going to do it through the Isle of Man FA. We're doing it through MIFA. This is only good news for Manx football. Yeah. We're going to give the kids something to look up to. I mean, you know, a little kid there who's watches the telly and he sees Leeds playing in the Championship, you know, and especially when they beat Middlesbrough. You know, what was it, 1-0, was it, JP? I remember. I thought
where are you in the league? We'll be playing Premier League football next year.
I know, but we'll see you the year after. But, you know,
we're not getting relegated.
But basically, you know, you see a young lad and he sees the Championship game on the thing and he sees the Leeds shirt and that, you know, yes, it's the academy side coming over, but you know, at Leeds at the moment, we had, I think, you know I'm a massive Leeds fan, and I mean, last weekend I think six of our first team pulled out. Mm-hmm. Two I believe was actual legitimate injuries, and four
saving themselves for the Isle of Man.
Absolutely, that's it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, when they say it's an academy side, there's quite a few of them lads in that academy are playing first team football. And I mean, Leeds are known as having a good academy. So it's fantastic that that's happening next week. Then, of course, you know, I mean, probably slightly different. We've got the Alderney match, which is more, you know, we know what Alderney are going to be like. We're not expecting them to be the Padanias or the County Anises.
Well, I tell you what, Malcolm, we'll come back very short. We've got to take a break and talk about Alderney. Just before we go to the break, though, every football team at a tournament needs an anthem.
Yeah, I mean, a fantastic idea, this. We have had an anthem created for the Alan Bannon team to take with it to Hungary now. It was written and performed by Ruth Keggan, who many people will know is heavily involved in the Celtic music scene and is internationally known now. I think she's actually out in Norway at the moment. And alongside her was Malcolm Stitt, who's well known in the local music scene. Fantastic song. It's all about pride, passion, standing together, everything that we had in Sweden. And I think, you know, we're going to try and get the lads to learn the chorus line before we go to go to Hungary. And I think it's about, the bank holiday weekend. quite a few of the lads will be involved in the video shoot, because this is going live worldwide. This song, the sort of people that have heard it so far have said what a fantastic song, and actually think it could do quite well. But it does demonstrate what Chris got out of his team in Sweden, and I think when the lads hear it, it'll do quite a lot for them. So yeah, I hope, you know, your listeners tonight will give it the thumbs up.
Well, here we go, let's give it a play. Introduce it for us.
Well, we call it Standing Together, and I'm not going to say it in Manx because my Manx is rubbish. Okay, and this is Ruth Keggan and Malcolm Stitt.